Such a powerful kalima that it takes a person out, inshallah, from negativity and places them into what's positivity. That is why when we say La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship except one Allah. In essence, we are saying, I'm not going to follow anything that is poor in choice. I'm not going to go towards that which is haram. I'm not going to go towards that which is immodest. I'm going to live a respectable life. And I'm also going to have others live a respectable life. A Muslim, by definition, doesn't only stand for peace and goodness, but a Muslim, by definition, encourages others to take part in good things as well. That is why Shu'aib alayhi salam, in the Quran it says, وَبَتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. In essence, he is giving his people advice. Now we know the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam had people that were inclined towards fraudulent behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us advice when he says, وَبَتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Musa alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, tell to his people, and this is very, very important, because if you can utilize this advice, then we will gather success for ourselves, not only in this world, but in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Shu'aib alayhi salam say the following, that seek success in the hereafter through whatever means that is granted to you. The first advice of success is that this world will come to an end. We understand that quite well. I don't know if you can ever show me a person that has lived yet forever and forever. We may differ on everything, the time of prayer, whether we should pray or not, whether we should go and pray in this place versus that place, whether I should open this business or that business, this profession or that profession, assist this poor person versus that poor person. But one thing we have absolutely no difference on, and no difference upon, and that is the fact that we all are going to die. That we are going to depart from this world, that there are people that we may like or dislike, they are going to carry us to the graveyard, and we are going to be placed in the ground, in a lonely place, where no individual will be able to come and meet us physically. It's a reality. This is something we all believe on. That is why Shu'aib alayhi salam is giving the people advice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever it takes to make yourself become aware of the hereafter, whatever it takes to make you a stronger believer, you must utilize that method to go towards that outcome. Because that outcome will benefit you not only in this world, but it will make you make such choices that it will assist you in the hereafter as well. Thereafter, the ayah continues by saying, number two, very important thing, do not spend all your wealth aiming for your success in this world, and do not use all your resources in such a way that you become a ghafil of the hereafter. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, if we evaluate our everyday life, we are soaked in this world. I got to buy food, we got to get gas, we got to pay for warmth or air condition. You name it. Every second or third minute, and if you are lucky, maybe every 15 or 20 minutes, the idea of survival is within us. What I'm going to eat, who's going to feed me, what's my diet going to be like for longevity, how can I improve my diet? We continue this way. And it's not a problem. Allah made us and brought us in this world for a reason. However, we cannot let the world get into our bloodstream. The body has a system. There is a method in which our body continues to function. Even our body knows better that when you put your hand on something, gasoline doesn't just go in. When you, likewise, when we function in the world, we cannot let the pollutants of the world get into our system. Because if we let that happen, then we have not understood the value of La ilaha illallah. That La means a form of negation. La is saying, I'm not going to allow anything in this heart. I'm not going to allow anything in this mind except what is permissible, except what is halal, except what is beneficial, beneficial to myself and beneficial to my environment. That is what La ilaha illallah means. And if we allow anything to get into our heart besides that La ilaha illallah, besides morality, besides goodness, besides assisting people towards a higher outcome, then we have to understand that we have two ways out of that, generally. One is continue and destroy ourselves, or the other is make the necessary tawbah, istighfar, and seek forgiveness of Allah in the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. The scholars have said, one way to elevate your position, One way to become a better individual is to constantly not only remember Allah, but use words that will make us remember Allah. That is why the scholars have said, it is the right of Allah that we will remember Allah. We have made our right to remember people. That's why we discuss with people, we discuss about people, we involve in ourselves in that discussion and dialogue with and towards humanity. Allah is saying over here, very simply, if you indulge yourself in the right things, then the right things happen. So this ayah is saying, number two, number one, prepare yourself with those deeds that make you remember the hereafter, number one. And number two, let it not be that we spend all our wealth aiming for success in the hereafter and letting go of what is necessary in this world. That means Allah is saying, I understand that the hereafter is also important, but it does not mean we do not do the necessary things in this world. By virtue of example, people came to the Prophet and said, I would like to give all my wealth in charity. And what did the Prophet say? No, do not do that. Do not take part in that. Now imagine a religion telling its people, do not give all your wealth in charity. What type of religion is that? It is a very sober and normal religion that will say that to its people. Because if you give all your wealth in charity, your child or your children are going to be left with nothing. And when they're going to be left with nothing, they're going to say, religion took all our wealth. Religion wants all our wealth. Allah wants all our wealth. The Islamic societies want all our wealth. They took away all our wealth. When we went to them and asked them for assistance thereafter, they said they had no money. Where did that money go? They will make all these accusations. So Allah is saying, no, no, no. Divide your wealth. That is why it comes that the maximum wealth we can give away, from whatever wealth we have, when we pass away, the maximum wealth one can give away to outsiders is no more than one third. And once a person passes away, that wealth, if it was not given before they had died, if that wealth was not distributed before they passed away, then that wealth has to go. If it's a man that died, it has to go between the wife and children. And if there are no children, then there are other close figures it has to go towards, parents, etc. Why is Allah doing this? Why does our religion do this? It is to protect individuals that are alive, because living people have a right as well. And Islam clearly says, to live is better than to die. We believe that. To live is, that's why when we make dua, we don't say, oh Allah, take my life. We don't say that. If a person wishes for death, all they can say is, oh Allah, is living, if living is better for me, keep me alive. And if you feel I must leave this world, and oh Allah, you decide when it is the appropriate time for me to depart from this world. So whoever said Muslims like to kill themselves, Muslims like to blow themselves up, well, they have a problem. Because we have enough of the Quran that says, and enough of the Hadith that says, not only keep yourself living, and assist others to live as well. Live a life of quality, a life of justice, a life of goodness. So the second thing is, don't just prepare for the hereafter, relinquish this world, prepare for the hereafter while remembering that we are living in this world and we have a responsibility towards this world. As the famous hadith says, there was a ship. A ship is going in water. The people at the bottom are thirsty. They cannot say, well, the first class people on top, they don't want us to go on top. So what we'll do, we'll start digging a hole in the ship and we'll get water and we'll enjoy. Don't do that. The hadith says, if they did that,
they will drown, and the people above will also drown. And this is the situation we are in this world, is that we are saying, I'll do what I want to do. Don't tell me what to do. So we are self-destroying, and we are taking others away with us as well. That is why it is important from the hadith, tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, that we must assist ourselves, and also if we do not have the necessary assistance, then we have to go to individuals that can give us the assistance, that way we can save ourselves and save others as well. And the third part, وَبَدَلِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَمْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And number three, which continues from number two, become an assistance to the lives of other people. Become a service towards the well-being and benefit of other human beings on every capacity. My brothers in Islam, things are reality. And we have, unfortunately, and this is not just a Muslim thing, all groups at some point or the other had this given problem and continue to have this problem. By virtue of example, we are in America. Let's say a foreigner, wherever that person may be from, it could be England, it could be Spain, you name it. If that person picked on us and said, you American people are like this and like that, we get very upset. How can you call us Americans lazy individuals that just want to soak up the television experience? Have you not seen our technological advances? Have you not seen our medical advances? Have you not seen how good we are to all people, because the law defends the rights of various ethnicities, etc., etc.? We will defend our America, and it's wonderful. However, after we defend America, when we come back to America, everything changes. Then what will I say? Well, I'm a Republican, you're a Democrat. And the Democrats will defend themselves, Republicans will defend themselves. But then when the Democrats go among themselves, one will say, I'm black, you're white. And the whites will defend themselves against the blacks. And the blacks will defend themselves against the whites. But yet when the white man and the black man goes home, they are lazy, we are not. And the lazy ones will defend themselves, and it continues. Eventually you will realize there's even a problem in our own homes. And this is a reality that we have to face. So I'll defend my family against your family, but when I go home, I've got a problem with my own brother and sister. And if you look at it, in the end, we have a problem with ourselves. So as a people, in order to be able to create positive change in our society, not only do you have to defend, for example, the broader, the American aspect, or the Muslim aspect, we have to defend everything throughout right to ourselves, provided it is correct and good in nature. And this is where our handicap lies. This is where we are challenged. And we have to break away this system of my people are better than your people, my household is better than your household, because everyone knows what is happening in their household. Everyone knows what is happening in their business. Everyone knows what's happening in their caste. Everyone knows what's happening in their community. Everyone knows what's happening in the nation. Everyone knows what is happening in their country. And this is the ploy of Shaitan. The ploy of Shaitan is to give you a false sense of security. Because my brother and sister, no one is really secure. No one knows what will happen when you come out of this mosque. And those of you that are guests, I don't mean you're going to blow you up. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about things happen. You know, most accidents happen around a 3-mile radius from your home. Why does it happen within a 3 to 4 mile radius from your home? Because once you come in your territory or in your neighborhood, I know this place. In fact, I can almost guarantee you, if you look at, if I ask you, do you remember from 2 to 3 miles before you went to your home, do you remember the road? You will say, I know it so well that I don't even remember getting to my home. Many people say, I don't know from my business to my home how I got here. Time just flew. I was talking to the phone. I was thinking about something else. When you drive on the street, if those of us that come here regularly, can you actually remember how many chicken you saw on the street? How many horses you saw on the street? No, you don't. Why? Because you are coming here all the time. We take it for granted. Therefore, now when you go out, you'll be looking at these things. Wow, there's a chicken. If I ask you, for example, how many white cars you saw in the parking lot, you don't remember. And as I'm saying that I'm looking out, I already see 3 white cars. Why? This is exactly the same thing that is taking part in our religion. Some of you are looking out the window right now. You can look up later, my brothers, you'll find more white cars. The point here is, we take things for granted. And we are taking our religion for granted. And because we are taking our religion for granted, we have become insensitive towards it. And the same thing applies to our families as well. The Quran is saying, وَبْتَقِ فِي مَا عَدَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةَ, that seek success regarding the hereafter. And do whatever you need to do regarding the hereafter. Justice, goodness, kindness, compassion, love, mercy, and be good throughout to all people. Number two, do not just worry only about the hereafter. Likewise, do not only worry about this world. Be balanced regarding that. Number three, take an active part in assisting other individuals in doing those things that are good in nature. And number four, do not وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ الْأَرْضِ, and do not use your wealth, resources, and your energy to create any type, وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ الْأَرْضِ, do not use any of your resources to destroy human life, to take part in mischief, and reduce the quality of good that you see around you. My brothers, most of our energy, for whatever reason, is spent on that which is negative. It just happens that way, unfortunately. We have to worry about taxes, to worry about the type of school your child will go to, what happened in the school and what is going on in the school. You look at the news all the time, and when you look at the news, most of it is depressing. Earthquake in this given place. People are being killed in such and such place. For example, if you listen to the conflict that has taken place in Syria, over 5 million, according to some much more, the lowest figure, 5 million children are displaced. What is 5 million? 5 million. You know how big a school district is. Some of you must have picked up your children from school. And you know how many kids come out of school. Imagine 40, not schools, 40 school districts put together. 40 school districts on an average put together. That's how many children have become displaced. And the Quran says, وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not create corruption on earth. My brothers, it's not an issue of them being Muslim or them being something else. The issue is human life has been reduced to nothing. Those individuals, many of those 5 million, they are going to be going to other countries. They are going to be working for a pittance. Many of them are being sold. Imagine human beings being sold. Their life will go into slavery for some portion of it or not. Some of them will be used, their bodies will be used and disposed of in various forms or various ways. It's not an issue of they are Arab and I'm not Arab. Or they speak a certain language, I don't speak a certain language. Or they are very far away and I live over here and I have my own problems. My brothers in Islam, what they are going through demands us, the least we can do is pray for their survival, pray for their goodness, and write a letter to the departments of the United States, various departments, and request to them as a human thing, give them some form of assistance,
give them some form of aid. And I'm not saying non-Muslims are not giving aid.
You know what's sad about this whole thing?
Chances are greater, although we will say people are being this to us and people are being that to us, chances are great non-Muslim countries and non-Muslims gave more aid to the Syrian people than many a times than Muslims have given. And chances are even greater, Muslims probably stole more of the wealth that went to the Syrian refugees than non-Muslims have ever done so. This is the reality we have to deal with. In fact, there was an article, when crises like this take place, many Muslims form organizations and they squander that wealth into their own personal accounts. So while we claim that others out there do not like us, Shuaib alayhi salam is giving advice. And the advice is giving, do not play with the scales. This ayah comes under the banner of, do not play with the scales. That means Allah has a system. Do not manipulate that system. Follow that system. Work within that system. Observe the goodness of that system. And do not manipulate it for your own personal benefit, to manipulate people. And this is advice that we all can take for ourselves. So the Quran is saying, be the best you can be, and stand for the best you can be, to uplift the value of your life and the life of those that surround us as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in taking benefit from this advice of do not commit corruption. My brothers, as we announced previously and last week, on the 19th of April, we are going to be having an event. And the catalyst of this event, basically, was for the following reason. We have our children going to school. We have our children going to colleges. We have our youth that are employed and they are working. Majority of our youth are not involved in Islam. It's a reality. Because we are caught up in the system. School, work, future, settling down, having our first child, raising the first child, making sure that the first child can be successful. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. What we went through, they are going through. What our parents went through, grandparents went through, our children are going to go through. And I will ask you one or two questions. What do you really know about your religion? It's a fair question. If I ask you what you know about your job, you'll give me 10 or 12 things. Likewise, can you give me 10 or 12 things you know about religion and you are using those 10 or 12 things to uplift the value of your life and those around? And the answer is, unfortunately for the most part, I'm too busy to be doing that for others. And this is not the end of the world. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if my knowledge and your knowledge is going to be limited on Islam, do you think it's going to get any better for our children? Do you think it's going to get any better for our grandchildren? The Bosnian people went through a lot of challenge. And they went through a lot of sacrifice. And because of the sacrifice they went through, and the human slaughter that took part on them, in Europe, you know, modern civilized Europe, as they call it, wonderful place, nothing against them. It's a mistake that happened, we'll say. Fine, no problem. A huge mistake. Killing a human, I don't call it a mistake, but especially when you do it in a systematic manner, then I call it a major problem. Many of them have told me, you know what? We lost our religion. We were so part of our community that we were lucky if we knew the kalima, but alhamdulillah we knew that. However, beyond that, we were very, very limited. It took a catastrophe upon us, they said, to make us realize the value of Allah, the value of Rasulullah. And that is why today we have now become better people. But the scar it left on them, the mark it left on them, it is something we cannot discuss on one Friday session. And this has happened to many different people. I met Palestinian youth that don't even want to read the Quran, that don't want to even pray. You ask them why, and they will tell you, where was my Allah
when my house of my grandparents or my own house that I saw collapsing with Israeli occupation. Now, we're not saying they are right to do that or wrong to do that. That's a separate political issue. So when we go through this challenge in life, it takes some people away from the belief in Allah and Rasulullah. For this purpose, to bring about an awareness, not radicalism, not fundamentalist behavior, but to create an awareness within our community. We have chosen a neutral place. If we have it in this masjid, people are going to complain. We have it somewhere else, in another masjid, people are going to complain. Now we are giving you an opportunity to take your complaints and put it one side, number one. Number two, we are going to be at a neutral place, and we are thinking the U of you. We are thinking of getting scholars from a diverse background that are local, that understand the challenges you are facing. And we are seeking people between the ages of 13 and 28 to come to that safe environment that is non-judgmental in nature. That means I'm not from this background or this masjid or that masjid, etc. But to come to a safe area where we can talk in a non-political manner about Allah and Rasulullah and making us into better people. I don't think this request is unfair. Am I correct in assuming this? How many think I'm unfair in what I'm saying? All of you think I'm unfair? SubhanAllah. So all of you think I'm wrong in discussing this? Can you pick up your hand at least and interact with me? How many of you think I'm unfair? How many of you think I am fair? Pick up your hand. That's it. It doesn't take much. See, this is the problem we have, my brothers. You have come here today for one purpose, out of culture. You've not come here to interact. You've not come here necessarily to learn. You came here because every Friday at 1 o'clock I have to leave work, 1:30 I have to be here, I have to pray and I have to go home. In other words, our attitude is, don't tell me to change my life. I want to be what I am. My brothers and sisters, that's what's going to happen to your children. They're going to be what they are. Until the age of 40, they're going to be playing those video games. 45, playing video games. Is that what you want in life? That's the trend you seem to be moving towards right now. So let's start again. How many of you, inshallah, will try and attend on the 19th of April? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, the 19th of April, we'll be seeking a venue. We are seeking appropriate things to present, appropriate guests to come by. We are working on it. And I really hope, if you don't come, especially those that are above 28 and below 30, the least you can do is get your children in that environment. Again, it is done primarily for the benefit of our community and the benefit of our future. The event will be on the 19th, 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Put it on your calendars. Venue, inshallah, will be announced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us and assist us in making decisions that empower ourselves and our community and our youth.